Especially as we gather and reflect on Mary and mercy, and we have this beautiful image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I get the special blessing of having not one but two Masses with you, which I'm so excited about. But if we could just pray for each other for a moment, that I'll say what the Lord wants me to say, and that you can hear what the Lord wants you to hear. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Fasting is romantic. Oh, wait, no, that was a different homily. It does actually get to the point in this gospel, though. The scribes and Pharisees focus on practices, the practice of certain prayers and the practice of fasting. And these religious practices, certainly good and commendable, you believe in them. I believe in them. And Jesus takes it to a different level. He looks not at the practice first. He looks at the relationship first. He brings it to the relational. That it's not about practices. It's about the bridegroom. And he focuses the attention of those who are asking the question, and ultimately also the disciples, as they're certainly listening in on this whole conversation, he focuses them on the relationship with the bridegroom. And he looks at a particular dimension of that relationship as he takes this teaching opportunity, having taken the Pharisees' question in a place that they had no interest and weren't thinking about at all, but Jesus is always making these teaching opportunities. And he talks about that relationship when the bridegroom is taken away from them. And that's a crucial part in our spiritual life. When we have that experience of the bridegroom being taken away from us, when we have the experience of God's absence, and it leaves this space in our hearts, it leaves this longing in our hearts. And this comes at various points, sooner, middle, later, at different times, for a few moments, for a day, for a year. We're about to celebrate the canonization of Mother Teresa on Sunday, who experienced it for 50 years. God help us. This experience of the absence of the bridegroom. And it's good for us to look, especially on a day of renewal, and ask ourselves, how do I respond to that? How do I respond when prayer is difficult? How do I respond when the bridegroom seems to be absent? How do I respond when I feel abandoned, or I feel like I really need God's help and it seems like he's not paying attention, he's not listening to me? How do I respond to that? One of the ways that we respond to that is by, as to use the words of St. Ignatius, turning ourselves to earthly, lowly and earthly things, like ice cream, right? That's one of the things that Jesus is getting at. We have comfort foods and we have comfort behaviors and comfort places, and there is a certain place for that, as even St. Thomas says in dealing with depression, you know, a warm shower, a good bath, a nice meal, these things can help us at a human and psychological level. Sometimes our experience of absence is also the need for a little bit of psychological comfort, but is that, do I really give in, do I really collapse into that place where I'm just, okay, well, it's too hard to wait for God, and he's not coming to my aid, and so I'm just going to turn to my own human security. Food is just one example of that. But we have a lot of human securities. Sometimes we turn to things that we can get done. Well, I'll do some more work. I know how to accomplish things. I know how to make myself feel good that way. I can clean my room. I can clean the chapel. I had a friend in college. Every time he was coming up to an exam, we always knew it because his room would be cleaned like 7 times. Just vacuumed, dusted, like, oh, Sean, you got an exam coming up. How'd you know? We can turn to these different ways of taking our control of things when we feel like we don't have control of God. Surprise, surprise. But we do get into that mentality. Well, when I say these prayers, I have these feelings and it works in this way. I kind of control God. Well, we don't actually control God, and every once in a while we run into that wall. Now, God is so humble and so generous that he tends to respond to these things lovingly. He wants us to trust in him and to know that he really is always there for us, and he's not trying to play games with us, nothing like that. But sometimes we need to hit a little wall that way and recognize, remember, discover again, I don't control God, and his love for me is a gift. And then he wants to do something with me in those times of dryness. Now, that was what St. Ignatius, of course, also understood and taught us in the Rules of Discernment, those times of desolation, which are not necessarily because I'm doing something wrong, although sometimes that's the case. I've taken myself away from him, maybe because I've responded in this way of taking hold of my own human securities. I've separated myself from him, but it may just be that, well, there are several reasons. I won't go through the whole discernment of spirits rules with you. You know them well enough, but there may be other reasons also that God is just helping us, allowing us to feel his absence. So, fasting, how is that a response? Well, what Jesus is inviting us to do, rather than grasping after our own human securities, trying to take control in some way, Jesus is inviting us to be stretched by that absence, to feel it, rather than running from the weakness that we experience in his absence. Jesus says, become even more weak. Let your body feel the weakness in fasting. Let yourself feel the weakness in not running to those human comforts or those human securities. Feel it. Sit in it. Let yourself be stretched by it a little bit. Not in a way of doing damage to ourselves or anything like that, but just to allow ourselves to feel the longing a little bit more deeply. Because our longing for him is really more true than even our experience of his presence. Because we are in a valley of tears. We are in a place of longing. We never receive in this life what we are truly made for that will be consummated in heaven. We really are in a journey of desire. And it's good for us to feel that and to sit in that and to be stretched by that, not to run from our weakness and cling to our human securities, but just sit in that a little bit and allow the longing to open us to his promise. And maybe we get a little trickle of consolation in the form of hope. So Jesus is inviting us to enter into that kind of weakness in this gospel passage. Now there's another way that we can end up running from the experience of God's absence, and that's through trying to impress him and win him back. And this is where, again, fasting could be a little bit of a dangerous thing in the sense of offering prayers and fasting. We might feel like we can win him back. You know, I fasted twice as much for you, Lord. You know, now you have to love me. We're in a position, again, of trying to control God and earn back his love and impress him and try to do all of these things. But again, it's really running away from our weakness, running away from the fact that we're not in control of this relationship. It's a gift. God's love is a gift. And if we allow that absence rather to stretch us, to open us, then we can experience the gift a little bit more deeply. How do we draw close to the bridegroom? As I was praying about this, I couldn't help but think of the icon of the divine bridegroom, which is not somebody who does all of this conquering through fasting and lots of prayers and being impressive and triumphant. The divine bridegroom is what we call in the West the ecce homo, the one who is scourged, clothed in that royal robe, crowned with thorns, humbled and suffering, being led to his passion. And so when we're experiencing that on the inside from various things, scourged and weak and poor and not in control, we're actually closer to the divine bridegroom. He enters into that in his intimacy and in his love, and he gives us the courage to meet him there, to stay with him there, and to experience his mercy. We'll have a chance to talk more about Mary and mercy tomorrow, but in that experience of being stretched, we're also opened. There's a certain kind of motherhood that begins to develop in that being stretched by his absence, being stretched by our weakness, being stretched by not being in control and not running from that in our accomplishments and our good deeds and our fasting and our prayers. We're not running from that into our comfort foods and our work, our accomplishments, whatever it is, but really remaining in that place where we can be stretched. That's what Our Lady did so beautifully at the foot of the cross. She remained there, allowing herself to be stretched, to love, to feel the distance. He's so close to her, and yet he's infinitely far away from her, anguishingly far away from her. She's so out of control. She can't take away his pain. She can't stop this thing from happening. And she feels the stretching that's taking place when all she can do is wait and trust and long for him. And that's where the motherhood really deepens. That's where her womb is also stretched by all of the babies that are being filled up in this amazing encounter of, well, all of the motherhood, the new life that's pouring forth from the cross. But in that stretching, she really becomes the mother of mercy because she stays with him in her weakness and shares with him his passion. Jesus gives us the consolation. Thank God he doesn't deprive us of the consolation of his presence in the Eucharist. As much as our senses have a hard time encountering that in faith, we can allow that to be at least a token, a promise of the love that he has for us, as he does give himself truly, totally to us in his body and blood. Let us allow him to enter especially into the places in us that are being stretched right now in whatever ways, and not try to close those off or fix them or hide them or stuff them full of low and earthly things, but really allow them to be opened up and presented to him that he can fill us in this Mass.